playing booch ball. Booch. We playing booch ball.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to Booch Ball, the only podcast in the entire universe talking kombucha and college sports. My name's Alex, joined as always by my lovely co-host, Freed. Freed, how you doing over there, baby?
Feeling purple. Happy Purple Monday. Doing great. Hungry for booch. Season's over.
The regular season is over.
Oh, we made a bowl game this year.
Yay! Go Canes! Great. A big 7-5 finish to the season, Freed. Miami beats Boston College. The conference championship matchups are set in stone. And Freed, you know, it's almost about that time to set our Boocha championships into what's it called? Our Boocha.
The BBC is back, baby.
What does it stand for again?
The Booch Ball Committee.
Booch Ball Committee.
Chosen Booches of the season.
The Booch Ball Committee will have spoken by the end of this episode when we will be reviewing one final kombucha for the regular season and then deciding who our top four booches of the year are going to be.
Way less importantly, similar things going on in the college football universe sometime soon. But before that other committee can make their final decisions and everybody gets real mad about it, they got some more games to play. Those who made it to the conference championship game will be playing this coming Saturday. So we're going to project an entire slate of Power 5 championship games plus one sediment pick.
Hell yeah. But before we do that, Freed, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was really good. It was a little chaotic, but the food was smacking. We hit it out of the park.
Hell yeah. I saw a nice family photo of the Freeds all hanging out. Step parents, real parents, fiancés become wives, step nephews, all in the picture, Freed. How was that? How was having Thanksgiving with your step nephew?
It was good. He was here when we recorded last week. I didn't know it at the time, but he was actually live streaming with us. He was hanging out on a booch ball with us. So
no way. What do you guys talk about?
What do we talk about?
Yeah. Are you like good with kids?
Not particularly, but I mean, he's 13, so it's not like you don't have to try that hard. He's just kind of like a normal person, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's right up at that age. I just spent, I was down in Miami with my like second cousin. So my dad's cousin's son. And we had a nice little time. We didn't grow up together. He's 15. I'm 30, obviously. So there's a little bit of an age gap there. But I'm like cool with it. Like I get it. And I think like the thing that I've like, I think the best advice for somebody, because I know people that are like confused about like how to talk to teenagers and like what they should say. Like once a kid turns like 10, people start to get scared, I feel like, until they're like 20. And I think like the way to do it is just you just treat a 12-year-old like they are an adult, like full on like an adult. Yeah. Don't talk about like drugs and drinking. But like pretty much everything else, fair game is what I think.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think it's a little overrated, like that you have to try extra hard or whatever, because it's not like it's just easy to talk to normal other adults that you don't know super well. They always require a little bit of effort, but he currently goes to the same middle school that I went to and was a basketball icon at. I scored 2 points that season off the bench. So
oh, you were the basketball icon or he
is? I was the basketball icon, yeah.
Okay. And he's following your legacy.
Yeah. So it was a little interesting just to talk to him kind of about the school. And when I thought about it, I was like, wow, I haven't been there in 18 years. That's that's kind of wild.
Yeah. Hell yeah. The dogs are barking over there, Freed. Has that dog always lived there or is it a recent addition with the dog?
No, he's been there before us. The realtor told us when we were buying the house that they have a puppy, but don't worry, he's going to go get trained, so he won't bark that much. He only comes out when Booch Ball comes on. He must be live streaming too. He's a big fan.
What about this, Freed? Take a little piece of peanut butter, maybe some cheese, take a little Tylenol PM, two talented PMs
there with a dog whistle again.
Sprinkle it in there. Anyways, enough about animal abuse, Freed. It is time for the last regular season episode of the year here at Booch Ball. It is now time for us to enter into the first segment here on Booch Ball, which, as everybody already knows, is what we're drinking.
What we're drinking.
Freed, what are we drinking today?
Well, we got the purplest Bucha on the block. I need to unsheath it. It's been in this koozie here on my desk for a while now.
Oh, Kayla and Freed get married.
GT's Elderberry Juniper. Happy winter. Happy Purple Monday.
Wow. Yeah, can you talk to the audience a little bit about Purple Monday? You're all decked out in purple. Purple's kind of like your color. This is a purple booch. What's up with your fascination with the color purple?
I liked purple from a young age. Purple was my favorite color when I was really little. And I feel like I got bullied out of it a little bit because I didn't want to be associated with a girly color, you know?
Right. Toxic masculinity is what.
Right. Around the high school age, I kind of decided that purple was cool again. And I went back to being a purple fan. So I've always tried to grab purple sports gear when possible. Like I have a East Carolina random hoodie.
Pirates. Or the Buccaneers. Yeah. The Buccaneers.
No, they're the Pirates.
They're the Pirates? Okay.
Yeah. And I like flying in that. So I wear it in airports a lot. And every now and then somebody walks by me and says, go Pirates. And I don't know what they're talking about for a few seconds.
Airports are a great place to wear a jersey.
Just like sports.
Yeah. You just run into random people.
That's right. And so when I was working for the Marlins at one point, I just coincidentally wore a purple t-shirt. And one of my coworkers also happened to be wearing purple that day. And it was a Monday. So the following homestand, the day before, jokingly, I said, are we going to wear purple again tomorrow? And so we both wore purple again. And then the next week I said, we're going to wear purple again. And he was saying, no, I don't have that many purple shirts. And I, at that point, just decided, well, I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay.
And then I started wearing purple on Mondays. I have some purple shirts that I made and gave out to some friends that say Purple Monday.
Nice.
And it's just kind of a lifestyle, you know? Now that I work from home, nobody really gets to see if I'm Purple Mondaying or not, but I try to keep it up, even if it's just socks or this purple beanie, you know, colder weather, just a little something to sprinkle in and improve my day.
Nice. I love that. That's very sweet.
A little self-care.
And now we've got this Elderberry Juniper from GT Synergy. Now, Freed, this is saying it's a raw kombucha. Are they all raw kombucha or is this one specifically raw?
GT's is all raw. Raw refers to kind of the pasteurization process. Okay. You know, the stuff that Kavita does to their kombuchas, it's not really raw anymore because all those probiotics get killed in the pasteurization process. Places like Kavita add back in new probiotics, but a raw kombucha is just one that hasn't been pasteurized or heated up to a temperature that would kill the native microbes.
Okay. Interesting. Well, let's go ahead and pop this sucker open and see, get this Purple Monday up and running. Ooh, very fizzy. Extremely fizzy. Oh my God, this is quite pungent. How do you say fragrant?
Pungent
implies bad.
So I've tried this once before. I don't really remember it, but it does remind me that this is another one where I have no idea what elderberry is supposed to taste or smell like.
Yeah.
Juniper is kind of, so when I think juniper, I think pine, you know, the pine scent, but I'm assuming this is juniper berries, not just like pine needles.
Well, juniper is what they make gin from. That's where the distinctive flavor of gin is derived from.
It's
juniper.
A piney scent, right?
Yeah, exactly. Let's go ahead and take a little sip. A little taste test. This is a curious booch.
It's kind of jammy, very sweet, fragrant.
It has a very, it has an interesting after kind of like burst.
I'm into it. So the ingredients. This one's pretty simple. It's just GT's kombucha, elderberry juice, and juniper berry. So it is the juniper berries, sure, and not the needles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did some research on some of these ingredients, and so elderberry is something that's used. You'll see it a lot with like supplements and things like that. I remember my dad got me like elderberry supplements during COVID.
Elderberry is supposed to be very healthy. It's one of those superfoods, kind of like goji berries.
Yeah, it's an immune booster.
Okay.
But also, the plant can be very poisonous. Okay. The bark, poisonous. I looked it up and it said like the bark was used to like induce vomiting and as a laxative.
Okay, but the elderberries, all berry, no bark, all bite, no bark.
Well, the elderberries, I actually see elderberries around every once in a while. Actually, like it was a couple of weeks ago, I like saw like this bush and I was like, what is that? And it was an elderberry bush. And
how do you know that?
Really can't eat them. I have an app.
Okay.
I have an app for that.
You're just blindly trusting AI.
Yeah.
To know your exact location and where.
Correct. I don't eat it. I never eat it, but I do like to document shit that I see.
Okay.
But I also, in doing my elderberry research, it said that if you just eat straight up elderberries, it's not good. You have to cook them. You have to like boil them in order for them to be edible. And I really like to think about just like the indigenous cultures of the world that just like figured it out. They were just like, oh, don't eat this berry. It's poisonous.
Well, they had a Google spreadsheet and they crossed it off. You know, if somebody died, they would cross-reference what they ate recently.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you really need that for mushrooms. I mean, you probably are using this for mushrooms because you're a fun guy.
So true. Yeah, I'm using it I've got a Google spreadsheet of all the mushrooms I eat. They all make me feel high for some reason. Speaking of being high, would you like me to read the words of enlightenment that are posted on this bottle?
Only if you do your AI GT's accent.
Well, actually, what I got a little tickle out of this is that the words of enlightenment are it's like words of enlightenment and it's quoted, but then below it you can see that the quote is attributed to Johnny Lopez, who works in marketing and lives in Huntington Beach, California.
Wow.
And
so this is one of GT's minions.
And I know my middle name's Rodriguez, but I don't want to do like a Spanish accent while reading it. I could. What if I tried to do a very tasteful Spanish accent while reading it?
You could do like a cat, like a valley. You know,
I'm doing like a, I'm gonna do like an Antonio Banderas reading of it. Okay. Words of enlightenment. Do not wait for inspiration. Being an inspiration is one step away.
Just do it.
Yeah, so shout out to Johnny Lopez, I guess. Okay, this is an interesting booch. It's a little bit in that like kind of a little too sweet vibe that GT's often plays around in, but it does have that kind of interesting pine finish, which almost balances it out to a certain degree.
It's a kooky booch. It's not
kooky like, booch.
Yeah, it's kooky. It's weird. It's interesting. I don't.
Sometimes I've described myself as kooky.
Yeah, you're kooky. No doubt. Kooky. This kombucha might be right up your alley. It's just the juniper berries. I really would like to isolate these two flavors and figure out what's what here because I'm not sensing any real pininess to it. I feel like the juniper berries don't necessarily taste piney. Maybe I'm way off.
I think they do. I think they do because gin for sure tastes piney.
But is that from the berries or is it from the needles? I just don't know.
That's a good question. I don't know. But I can taste a little bit of the pine. Okay. I can taste it from the juniper.
Okay.
But yeah. All right, cool. So we're drinking the elderberry juniper if you're drinking along over there, Boochies. And that's what we're drinking today on Booch Ball. This is our final regular season matchup. It's on any given Booch Ball. Who's to say? Maybe this thing will sneak in. Maybe it'll creep on in like a little elder flower.
It's got a shot.
In the spring. So that's what we're drinking, folks. It's time now for us to move on and tell you what we're thinking.
What we're thinking.
What are we thinking? free.
We've got kind of a lot of stuff to think about right now. The regular season just ended. We're looking forward to what ball game Miami's going to play in. We're looking forward to who's going to be the teams in the final playoff at the end of the season, who are going to be the kombuchas in the final playoff at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. The transfer portal opens in 1 week, December 4th. Who's going to stick around? Who does Miami bring in? There's kind of a lot going on right now, man.
Sure. Yeah. Well, let's do a quick just kind of like recap of like what happened. So we saw the big game happened. Michigan beat Ohio State, even without Jim Harbaugh. We had Alabama win on like an historically crazy classic Iron Bowl type finish, 99.9% chance of winning, erased by a fourth and something crazy,
31, I think.
Yeah. And an insane back of the end zone catch.
Yep. Washington eked one out, right?
Washington wins.
I was playing a lot of golf on Saturday. I didn't really watch any football, but I
was practicing. My band had a show on Saturday, so I was playing, and then I also like while we started playing at 6, so I was like doing live commentary while I like in like the brief intermissions of like what was happening in the game, and I was like, "Is this like a Bama crowd, or are we more like a War Eagle kind of crew?" And we were more of a War Eagle crew, but it did not end up very well. And my Florida State cousin was there. But yeah, so Freed, so we have the conference matchups are set in stone. Iowa also somehow sneaking in, insane that Iowa's in, but
well, they're on the west side.
Yeah. They might need to restructure some of that while they're doing the conference realignments. But for now, Freed, I don't know what we want to maybe do some kombucha canes here. I'm very curious about, you know, what happened with this season, because I can't remember if we went live. I don't know if I went live on the podcast, but I for sure I predicted a 7-5 season.
You did. I can't remember what I did. I went higher than you. I think I went 8. I might have even gotten 9. I was feeling pretty good early. I don't remember. And it's kind of interesting because, yes, we won 7 games, but
that dog just won't stop barking, huh?
He won't. Sorry, everybody. It's my neighbor dog. He just really loves Boochball. He's been so good all day. And then I guess they just let the dogs out right when we get on the stream. He gets his notification. Oh, Boochball, time to let the dogs out. Fuck the neighbors.
Woof.
But Miami was better than a 7-win team this season. I think when Miami played at their best, they really looked like a 9 or a 10-win team, you know, early in the year against A&M, last week against Boston College. But in the middle of the season, they just looked awful.
I know. They looked like a bunch of dogs. Like a bunch of dogs that should have been put down, Freed. I mean, come on. You were a kneel away from being 8-4. So you were right. I'm holding out hope that my, you know, the thing with this season is that hey, we're moving in the right direction. Okay. We were 5-7 last year. Now we're 7-5. That's better than last year. The thing for me is that you see other coaches will come into a school and kind of like immediately right the ship. And maybe that's just, you know, I don't know, but I'm like, I think we were kind of.
It leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Here.
Yeah, but that's a little bit fluky. I think, especially when you look at a team like Louisville, the pantry wasn't quite so bare. The guy came in, made some good pickups in the transfer portal, including a quarterback who was familiar with his system, and they also walked into an extremely favorable schedule. So there's really no excuse for Mario's team losing 5 games last year. But when we look back at last year's roster, that team just wasn't good. And even this year, it's a much better team. But I think everyone agrees Miami was sufficient, consistent quarterback play away from winning 9 games this season.
So talk to me about that. So Tyler Van Dyke Does he stay or does he go now? I think I just saw something in the Miami Herald that's I don't have a subscription, so I didn't get past the paywall. But from what it sounded like, what Mario was saying was that he wasn't going to let – essentially, it was like, we're not going to let the current quarterbacks on our roster stop us from trying to find a better quarterback, which I'm, like, totally cool with. Sounds good.
Yeah, 1,000%. It's kind of a weird spot with Tyler right now. I think he's probably going to leave. The question to me is not so much will he stay or will he go, but will he play in the bowl game before he goes? That's kind of where I'm at.
My question is, do the people who live in the house next to you, are they home? And they're still letting the dog do this bark.
Yeah, it's kind of rude. It's just a single guy and is probably in his 50s. And, you know, I'm going to be honest. I've never seen him walk the dog. I've legitimately never seen him walk the dog. He just lets him run around the backyard and he stands at the fence line, which happens to be right behind my office. And he'll just bark for long periods of time.
Are there people walking by? Like,
I don't think so right now. I think he's just barking. I don't know what it is.
Think he thinks he's barking at?
I think he just wants attention. I'm sure he's lonely. He's a sweet dog. He's lonely. He's bored. It's unfortunate. It really is. The good news is by the time we get to picking, he'll probably be back inside. So I'm trying to look at the glass halfway full. But back to TBD, other teams exploited his weaknesses. They figured out where he struggled and they started to exploit it. When he starts getting injured, it leads to a downward spiral where it's, I don't know if it's mental or physical, but there's some sort of overcompensation going on where he's not trusting himself or his teammates or the game plan. He tries to do too much and it leads to some really, really bad throws. I mean, 11 picks in that four-game stretch plus the drive against Florida State. It's just right. It's honestly unfathomable. So where I'm at is the 2022 year, that was a fool me once type scenario where we thought he was going to be an NFL stud, potential draft pick after 2022. Fool me once. This year, we kind of did it again, right? We fell into that same trap. We're 4-0. We think – TBD's the hottest shit, highest rated passer, him and Michael Penix, the top of the grades, right?
Right.
So fool me once. How does it go?
Won't get fooled again.
Yeah. Fool me once.
There's an old saying back in Texas.
Exactly. Fool me three times.
Don't get fooled again. So,
fool me once was 2022, right? That's shame on him. Okay. Fool me twice. That's shame on Mario, right? Because he went with that and stuck with it, and that was the only option. That's shame on us. So, yeah, I give him some excuse of the new coordinators. I give him some excuse of the injuries. But at the same time, you can't just keep doing the same thing and expect it to change. I think
this is what are we going to do? So what's going to happen? So talk to me about the portal, because I keep hearing a couple names, and I really only care about the quarterback, at least for now. Right. But like, what are the names that keep being thrown around? Like I keep hearing the Mississippi State quarterback, Will Rogers.
Yeah, that's right. Rogers and then Tulane, Michael Pratt. Those are some people seem to think the younger Tagovailoa is going to transfer from Maryland. There's talk about.
There's also the Texas backup.
Murphy. Utah backup has declared already. It honestly, there's going to be so many dudes whose names get thrown out there in the next week or so. There's really no point in projecting who's going to go where at this point. I think there's probably a handful of schools that are going to be at the top of the table when it comes to where premier quarterbacks want to go. You'll have Notre Dame, who needs somebody because Sam Hartman's out of eligibility. You're going to have USC, who needs somebody when Caleb Williams goes to the draft. You have Miami. And I'm sure there's one or two other schools where, as their starters declare, they're going to need somebody else. Maybe Ohio State wants to upgrade. Maybe Georgia wants to upgrade. Other guys go to the draft too, and teams need QBs. So it's going to get wild. But from a Miami standpoint, I think Tyler's gone, and I also think Jakari's gone. I mean, he didn't get a single snap. I can't imagine that if he was actually part of the plan for next year, that he wouldn't have gotten utilized. And that bothers me. I really don't like how they handled his situation, unless he specifically said, maybe a few games into the year, he specifically said, you know what, if I'm not going to be the starter, I'm not going to risk being used as a running quarterback and getting injured. Right. Just let me sit. If I can't be a full-time starter, let me sit, and then I'll go on my merry way. And, you know, wherever he ends up, he could potentially be a big-time quarterback somewhere. But I think he's just not in the plans for Dawson.
Fun fact, Malik Murphy, the backup Texas quarterback, went to Junipero High School in Texas. No, in Inglewood, California, I think.
Wow. And you know who he played with? The Golden Boy.
Elderflower?
Quinn Elderflower? but yeah, I mean, Miami's got Emory Williams coming back, and that's potentially your only scholarship QB.
Well, Freed, that's what we're thinking. It's a season that's bittersweet, kind of like a juniper berry. You know? Came out all right in the end. Had we lost to BC, there's a big difference between 7-5 and 6-6. So thank God we did win that game. The BC game was a fun game to watch, and we were consistently good throughout.
Yeah, it was nice. That was the first time since Temple that we got to have a peaceful game.
Yeah. And the dogs are barking, which means it's time to move on to the third and final segment of this regular season episode of Booch Ball. It's time for us to tell you who we're picking.
Oh, still on mute because the dog's barking. Who we're picking?
Very good, Freed. All right. Well, the Canes might not be in any conference championships, but there's a whole bunch of other teams that are. All right. We've got Oregon versus Washington and Vegas, Oklahoma State versus Texas and Jerry World, UGA versus Bama in the Mercedes-Benz Dome in Atlanta, Michigan versus Iowa somehow in Indianapolis, the Louisville Cardinals versus FSU in beautiful Charlotte, the financial capital of the of the Atlantic coast. What's the Carolina area called?
The Mid-Atlantic.
Yes, the financial capital of the Mid-Atlantic. And then for our sediment pick, we've got SMU with Rhett Lashley taking on Tulane. And as far as we know, this is going to be at Tulane because they don't have enough sway to play it at a major stadium.
Yep, that's right. And man, you're really hating on Iowa. They won 10 games this year.
Sure. Technically, yes, they did.
No respect for the Big Ten West. I don't blame you. But let's start on the Friday night game. Oregon, they're favored by 9.5 against our beloved Phoenix. That's a big number. Who are you picking?
It's an insult and it's an outrage. And like I've done all regular season long, Freed, I will be riding Phoenix to victory. Go Huskies. Go Purple Monday, baby. It's
make
all
some out. Room for me on that Phoenix train. I'm right there with you. Let's get after it.
UW. All
we
right. Next
Phoenix
up.
Here on Booch Ball.
We've got the Oklahoma State Shoot'ems. Oklahoma State Cowboys Shoot'em-ups. They're the Cowboys?
Yep.
Just the regular Cowboys. Shoot'em-ups. But they stole the Texas Tech thing. Is that what it was?
Yeah, the guns up thing. There's some friendly debate there, possibly. Right. But Oklahoma I was thought State. That Texas Tech hit it first.
Well, it's time for the Cowboys to take on the Longhorns. And this is a matchup that is just a real slice of Americana. Cowboys versus Longhorns? It doesn't get any better than that. In Jerry World, Texas favored by 14. Who do you got in this one, Freed?
Yeah, it's a little disappointing that Oklahoma didn't manage to make the Big 12 championship. They lost to OK State. Man, I watched Texas just absolutely destroy the Texas Tech Red Raiders last weekend. And if that's any indication of OK State, I'm actually going to take Texas to cover here. In addition to them just being a better team, Quinn Ewers is back. They have more to prove. Texas is hanging by a thread for their playoff hopes. They need some help, but I think they're going to be motivated to go out and score as much as they can.
Absolutely, Freed. I'm right there with you. I've got Texas in this one as well.
All right. SEC, where the big boys come to party. This is in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Saturday afternoon. Georgia favored by only 5 points against Alabama. I say only, but five's still a healthy spread. What do you think here?
Freed, this is just one of those games where Nick Saban's going to be coming off the miraculous win over Auburn to save their playoff hopes. Isn't this just the kind of game that Alabama will stay in and desperately claw to get into the playoff with a one loss, their only loss being to Texas, right?
Yep.
At the start of the season. And if Bama beats Georgia, things are going to be all topsy-turvy up in this.
Yeah.
And for that, I got Bama to, at the very least, keep it a close one and cover this, this, albeit a small spread.
Yeah, absolute nightmare scenario for the college football playoff committee. If Alabama,
they're going to wish they had 12 teams in, yeah, to hand out. This is why we need it. This is why they're going to need it.
This is the first year that I would be on board. Honestly, 8 would suffice for me. There's really 8 teams that I think could win a playoff game. Once you get up to 12, we start throwing Louisville and Iowa and teams like that in there, and that doesn't interest me a whole lot. But, man, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. I'll save some of these takes for later in our playoff selection process. But there's just no way Bama gets left out if they beat Georgia. And there's no way Georgia gets left out, as they're both going to be in. And then somebody is going to have their feelings hurt big time. But I kind of am with you. You know, like, I just hate picking against Alabama. Georgia's won so many now, 29 in a row, I believe. I think their time has come. They can't keep winning forever. At a certain point, they're going to have to lose a game. It's just math. They're going to have to do it at some point. And I know maybe you're thinking Bama had their hands full with Auburn, but let's not forget Georgia came out sleepy against Georgia Tech too. That was a tight game going right up into halftime. So I'm going to take Bama to cover. I actually am leaning them to win outright.
All right. All right. Very good. So far we're matched up 3-3, Freed.
Did you take Texas or OK State?
Texas.
Okay, so we're on the same page. Yeah. All right. Big Ten, Michigan. We talk about a big spread here. 23 points favored against Iowa. And much like Vegas, you seem to have not a whole lot of faith in Iowa.
Yes, Freed, but what I don't have faith in them being necessarily a good team, but I do have an appreciation and kind of a sick fascination with them, a very sickos vibe, yeah. This team. Iowa is the sickos team of all time. And even with them firing their offensive coordinator, did you watch the game, their no. last game that they played?
No.
I can't even remember who they played. Oh, Nebraska. It was Iowa versus Nebraska, and the way that Iowa won it was like Iowa threw an interception to Nebraska. Nebraska took it and had a chance to go for a field goal to win the game, and then Nebraska's quarterback threw an interception right back to Iowa. Iowa got the ball, kicked the field goal, won the game. It was insane, and they came in under the 24.5 points.
The lowest total in the history.
That was kept. And because of that, just because of my sick fascination with them, I would love for Michigan to just gut one out over Iowa and win it like 20-10.
I need to pull up what Vegas has for the total in this game, because I can't imagine Sight unseen, the spread's 23. I bet the projected total is 33. Like Vegas is giving them 6 points or something. Let's see. 35.5.
Yeah, there you go.
So that means Vegas is projecting what? A 6-29 game. Approximately 6-29. And that sounds about right. I mean, that's it's what Iowa does, right? I think this is going to end up being like a 21-5 type game. Iowa gets a field goal and a safety.
Yep.
Michigan will probably win by a couple scores. But like you said, I think this is going to be tight. Iowa, just they're just Iowa. And yeah, I'm going to take Iowa to cover.
Welcome aboard, baby. All right.
Barron's Express.
Our last P5 matchup, we've got the Cardinals of Louisville taking on Florida State. Florida State favored by only 3.5 points after Tate Rodemaker survived a near-death experience against the Florida Gators. Did you see the play where he slid in and two Gator guys go to headhunting for him? Oh, my God. It's so, I mean, it's brilliant, but it's evil.
Don't think so. These QBs slide so late. What are the defenders – what are they expected to do? You can't just
– But if you can knock out the number two quarterback.
It turns into that Kenny Pickett fake slide situation. If you just let them slide, you know, you got to assume they're going to keep running.
Yeah, so, yeah. All right, well, who do you got here?
Interesting. So
FSU favored by 3.5.
Louisville went ahead and lost to Kentucky last week, which took a lot of the spice out of this matchup. And I honestly feel for Florida State right now. They're 12-0, looking to go 13-0, and they have a realistic chance not to make the playoffs. And if this was Miami, I would be absolutely insufferable if we went 13-0 and missed the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely.
It just shouldn't happen to a Power 5 team. No matter what, it really shouldn't happen to anybody unless you're in Conference USA. If you're Liberty in Conference USA, sure. But if you're doing it in a semi-legitimate conference, it shouldn't happen. They beat LSU, they beat Clemson, they beat Miami. I mean, none of these teams are world beaters, but at this point, we're not picking the four best teams. Using quotation marks, they're not the four best teams. They're the four most deserving based on the resume. So what I hope happens and what I'm going to project right now prevents this all from being an issue. Louisville goes in and takes care of business. Louisville wins outright.
Wow.
I'm surprised Florida State's even favored right now. They're not that good in the first place.
Louisville just lost to Kentucky. They lost to a 6-5 team. I think. Something like that.
Louisville is a solid team. They're not great, but neither is Florida State, especially not with a backup quarterback.
Yeah, maybe not.
I've been saying this all year. I don't think Louisville's all that, but they feel disrespected in this game. They're going to be angry about this loss to Kentucky. They have just as much to play for as
Florida State. It really would restore balance to the college football world if Louisville were to beat Florida State.
It's what's got to happen. There's still going to be some playoff controversy, but there's
don't so we want Florida State in? Isn't that like good for the ACC or something like that?
Who cares, dude? Fuck the ACC. We're not even going to be in
Florida
this conference.
Florida State doesn't even want to be in the ACC. Yeah, exactly.
This conference is going to disappear just like the Pac-12 in another year. So fuck it. Fuck Florida State. They deserve it, but they really don't. And I don't want them to have it. So Louisville, come on.
All right, I'm going to pick against you. I'm picking Florida State to cover this one, but who knows, Freed. All right, it's time for us to drain the dregs of this elderberry juniper. Any last words before we drink the sediment here to celebrate our sediment pick as we scrape the bottom of the college football and kombucha barrels?
It's been kind of tasty. Sad to see you go.
It is curious. It does have just enough tartness that balances the elderberry sweetness. It's an interesting booch. It's a kooky boochie. All right. We've got SMU versus Tulane. Tulane and the Green Wave favored by 4 points. Who do you have in this one, Freed?
I got Tulane. The SMU Hurricanes. We've seen what Rhett Lashley can provide. He never really did enough to me to get to that elite threshold offensively. They've been scoring a lot of points, but Tulane has a chance to win this game and more or less guarantee themselves a spot in the New Year's Six. So Tulane's at home. They have a lot to play for. I just don't think SMU is good enough to compete with Tulane on that stage. So I think Tulane covers.
I'm going to disagree with you there again, Freed. I'm riding with my boy Rhett Lashley. I know really nothing at all about these teams, but I know SMU went 8-0 in conference, and so did Tulane. So for that reason, I will be picking SMU. Yeah, they lost to Oklahoma. They did lose to TCU. That's not really a great loss, but they won the rest of the games, including over the Charlotte 49ers, Freed. Don't forget about that. All right, picks are in, and
we need a tiebreaker here because we disagreed on two picks. So I would like to propose a bold projection for Miami as the tiebreaker. Where do we see our Canes heading to?
I'm going to say the Sun Bowl, Freed.
Oh, you stole my pick.
That's why I said it before you could. So, I see what you're doing on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm already going to El Paso that week. As of now, I'm planning to go the day after the Sun Bowl. So if we get the Sun Bowl, you better believe I'll fly out a day or two early and be out there holding down the fort before my winter vacation.
What's your alternate pick then?
So I think Miami is in a decent spot to get like a halfway decent bowl game here. I mean, there's a lot of ACC teams, but I was kind of looking through the list and trying to figure out who the Bulls would want above Miami. And there's not that many desirable ACC teams. Like you have Florida State, Louisville, Notre Dame slots into the ACC for bowl purposes. Then you have NC State. They're the only other ranked ACC team at this point. So at 9-3, even though they're kind of shitty and don't have a big fan base, they're somewhat desirable, I guess, as a ranked team. But then you have the next little cluster of Clemson, UNC, and Miami. Clemson and UNC both went 8-4. Clemson's kind of on the up and up right now. UNC's lost two in a row. Their quarterback probably won't play. I feel like Miami jumps ahead of UNC in the pecking order. So that puts Miami on pace to potentially get the sixth best ACC slot. And that to me could do enough to get into the first tier of ACC bowls, which could be the Gator Bowl or the Holiday Bowl, whatever that means.
Make a pick. Oh, Gator Bowl. Field? Is that what's happening?
I'm taking the Gator Bowl because it's in Florida and Miami is a big time draw.
Perfect. All right. Lock it in, baby. All right, Freed, the only thing left for us to do is to give our final ranking to the Elderberry Juniper. What are your thoughts on this Kooky Booch?
Yeah, Kooky Booch, it has a flavor unlike any other kombucha that we've ever had. I think it has sort of a very fruity jam tones, a little bit of that tartness, but it's not your regular everyday lemony tartness. It hits a little different, like the kids say. And it has a little bit of that TBD in it. It has a little bit of those ups and downs. You know, at first you're like, man, this is doing pretty good. Then you get to the middle of the season and you're kind of like, damn, I've been drinking this for a long time and I'm going to ruin my appetite. And it just threw a few more interceptions in my mouth. But then you get down to the sediment, Boston College, and you're like, okay, we're back and maybe I'll get another one. So I would buy this again. I can't quite get to the wood recommend. I'm going to go 6.8 because I kind of want to recommend it, but I just can't.
I'm at a 6.7, Freed. We have been locked in all season long I think if you were to do like our average differential, it would probably be like 0.2.5 or something.
We have a very tight dispersion. Yeah. Yeah.
That is interesting. Like two guys who were like, you know, we know each other well, but like we know each other especially well from doing booch ball. Like that's, this is how we've like really gotten to like truly know each other and build, sure. You know, build our friendship.
Right.
And for some reason, our like kombucha taste just like has, I don't know if it's just been over time, like we both,
we're sinking.
Like,
we're synchronizing.
We're just like starting to really understand how each other operate. I could feel like I can like feel, I thought, I did think you were going to go higher. I felt you were a little bit higher on this one end, but as you started your thing, I was like, he's about to say like 6.9 right now. Yep. I could feel it.
Yeah. I mean, well, I think we have a good scale and the scale sets the tone. It keeps us from getting too crazy. I think I could have gone a little bit higher here. It's just, this kombucha is a lot. It's a lot. Like if I was going to drink this again, I would not drink a full bottle in one sitting.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a great to have a few sips, put it back in the fridge.
I agree. I feel like my stomach is almost like a little unsettled actually right now. I'm kind of like, maybe, I don't know.
I think the ideal situation for this kombucha is to get some buddies, pour a shot for all of them.
Just like everybody, a little gin shot, a little shot of gin.
Yeah, everybody needs a taster.
This would be a good gin mix. Oh, that's where this would be really interesting. Mix it in with some gin.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking. Some all right. So before it gets too late here, we have all of our regular season rankings. So we have our final regular season rankings, if you'd like me to run through it real quick.
So the ETF 5-bot just told me we got a 6.75 for the elderberry juniper. So, yeah, send me your rankings.
All right. So for this regular season of booch ball, the final rankings are as follows. With the number one ranking, we have healthy ginger. Oh, fuck. I should have done the other way. I should have gotten to
it. It's okay.
All right. Whatever. Healthy ginger lemon, number one. But here's how I'll do this. Healthy ginger lemon, since we've already reviewed it in a previous season, we are going to say not eligible for the BBC this year. We're going to say anything that we've already drank before, not going to be eligible for the BBC, but we'll still be eligible for our future kombucha mashup where we're going to determine the best booch of all time now that we've had four full seasons.
Right.
So let me start with our number 12 booch. Coming in at number 12, we have GT's Island Bliss. Freed. GT's
Boo.
Island Bliss. Number 11, Rowdy Mermaid Savory Peach.
Boo.
Number 10, today's episode, GT's Elderberry Juniper. Mediocre. Not quite mediocre, on the bottom end. Next up, we have Rowdy Mermaid Hello Ginger. Then number 8, we've got GT's Living in Gratitude Fall Edition.
Yeah.
Number 7, GT's Gingerade.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Already had on the slate before. Coming in at number 6, we have GT's Unity.
All right.
Summer edition.
Yeah.
Number 5, the Brew Doctor Orange Oasis. It's here for Brew Doctor. Coming in at number 4, a booch we've had before. It's the Health Aid Pomegranate.
Yeah.
Number 3, the Brew Doctor Happiness.
Woo!
Which means that our number 2 kombucha, which is our favorite new kombucha of the year, goes out to the Brew Doctor Raspberry Limeade. Congratulations, Brew Doctor Raspberry Limeade. You have secured our number 1 seed for the BBC, which means that our third ranked booch is the, which is, I'll do it this way. So we have our number 1 seed, the Brew Doctor Raspberry Limeade. Our 2 seed is the Brew Doctor Orange Oasis. Then our 3 seed is going to be, oh no, I fucked that up. It's the 2 seed is the Brew Doctor Happiness. The 3 seed is the Brew Doctor Orange Oasis. We have 3 Brew Doctors in. This is the Brew Doctor division. And then that means the next one up, one that we haven't had before, is technically the GT's Unity. But the GT Unity is a summer edition booch, which means it's going to be very hard for us to find one of those in December, Freed. So the question becomes, what do we do?
This sounds like it's a brew doctor. I mean, the brew doctor is in at this point. And the raspberry limeade, that's Founders Series. I think I've seen that in a store.
We're gonna have to reach out to Rob and have him send us a booch.
We might have to get a special package order here. What we might end up having to do is just take two of them, send them head to head, and we just go straight to the
Freed, we also have one other secret booch that we hadn't had a chance to bring into the equation yet.
The Brew Doctor Snickerdoodle.
That's right, Freed. So, just out of this, on the skin of their teeth and with some holiday magic on any given booch ball, somehow we are going to sneak in through the back door, the Brew Doctor Snickerdoodle, into our championship and give the Snickerdoodle the 4 seed. So we have the Snickerdoodle at 4 matched up against the Raspberry Limeade, then the Orange Oasis at 3 matched up against the Brew Doctor Happiness. And Freed, this is the season of Brew Doctor, so may the best doctor win.
That's right. And it's only fitting because we haven't had a Brew Doctor season champion yet. So
they're the official sponsor of the podcast for this season.
In the final four, when we get to the ultimate final four, it's fitting that we have the best from each brand. So I'm happy to report that we're going to have a Brew Doctor in the ultimate finals.
Thank you all for listening. We love you very much. Happy holidays. And as always, Freed,
stay cultured. Enjoy transfer portal season. Peace.